Brother Jerry talked a little bit about meditation assimilation this morning. And I got to thinking about how I've been reading 1 John, you know, as part of the, you know, discipleship program. And how many of you, whether you've been reading 1 John or you read any scripture, any other passage of scripture, as you are reading, all of a sudden another verse or another passage just pops into your mind. When that happens, what God is doing, he's connecting some dots for you. He's showing you how this particular passage is connected to that passage that just popped into your head. Okay? And so that's kind of what we talk about when we talk about meditation and assimilation. And the only way that you can assimilate the word, you got to have the word in you. There's no assimilation if there's no word in you. Okay? So you got to have the word in you. Tonight, we're going to see an example of that. And it was something I have been thinking about. And let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. And let's look at verse 26. I have been meditating verse 27 for a long time. And we're going to get there, but we're going to read verse 26. That's where we're going to start. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. It says, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." Okay? Now, most of us being those who teach, you know, we've taught that, you know, if you're mad and you've been angry at someone, you know, make sure you deal with that. You do whatever you need to do so you don't go to bed angry. Okay? That's the way that passage is presented most of the time. But when you read the passage, it says, "Be ye angry and sin not." So it's not saying you can't be angry. It says, "Be ye angry and sin not." But the key to the understanding what that particular verse means is the second part of it. "Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." I was listening to a message by Gary Carpenter. It came out, I want to say, in May of 2009 with the same exact title. It says, "Give the Devil No Place." And he said that Tim Stemple came up to him and asked him about that particular verse. And, of course, Brother Gary just kind of expounded on it just like I did. You know, this is the way I've always understood it. And then Brother Tim asked him a question. And he says, who did the sun stop for? Who did the sun stop for? The answer to the question is Joshua. And we're going to look at that record tonight. Who did the sun, S-U-N, stop for? And it was Joshua. Okay? So we're going to look at this record in Ephesians. We're going to tie it to Joshua chapter 10 so you can really see what Paul is telling us in verses 24, 25, 26, and 27. Okay? So before we do that, let's go back. Let's pick up a little steam. Look at verse 17. Paul writes, "This I say then, say therefore." And this has come after he makes a statement about not being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So that's kind of the context of where we're going with this verse. And he says that, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk." Now, when Paul says don't walk as other Gentiles walk, what he's saying is, you know the way you used to live? Don't live that way anymore. Because, you know, when he's talking about walking, he's talking about a path that you have lived in all your life. And now it's time to change that. And he says, "Walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." And I get so tickled when I think about this word vanity, because it means empty. In the emptiness of their minds. Now, what is their mind empty of? In verse 18. "Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God." Their minds are empty because they are alienated from the life of God. through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. And lasciviousness means anything bad that comes to your mind. Just whatever comes to your mind that's bad, degrading, that's lasciviousness. It's kind of all encompassing. To work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. Stop. Paul is talking to Christians, okay? And what he's saying is, so far, you have been acting like Gentiles, okay? You have been acting like Gentiles. And there's come a time now where you need to start acting the way you've been taught. But you have not so learned Christ. You need to start acting like the way you've been taught. Okay? If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Now, many folks will tell you that this old man is the old sin nature. Okay? But let's think about this for a minute. When we had the old sin nature, did we have the ability to put off corrupt thoughts? Did we have the ability to do that? No, because that's who we were. That's who we were. So he's not talking about the old sin nature. What he's talking about is Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Renew your minds. That's what he's talking about. Okay? Because see, you know, once you get born again, once you get a new nature on the inside, you still got this old mind, you still got this body, and the mind and the body still crave the same things that they craved before you got born again. You see? And so that's why Paul says we have to put it off. Yeah, you got born again. Yeah, you got God's life and nature in you, but you have to put off the things you used to do. And how can we do that? Because we now have the ability. Because God's life lives in us, we now have the ability to put those things off. Okay? Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man. See, you got to put him on. And what is it putting on the new man? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. That's putting on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Okay, so up to verse 24, what is the context? Putting off the old man, putting on the new man. You see it? Okay, now, verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Okay? Now, let's turn to Joshua chapter 10. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 10. In Joshua chapter 10, we're going to read the story about Gibeon. And before we read that story, let's do a little catch-up. 2 minutes, maybe three. When we get to Gibeon, Joshua has already dealt with Jericho, and he's already dealt with Ai. Okay? Now, remember in Jericho, God told him to do some, God gave him some instructions that to the natural mind would not make any sense whatsoever. Okay? God told Joshua, before you go fight Jericho, I want you to circumcise all of the fighting men. When it's a different thing between circumcising a baby and circumcising a fighting man. Because what you're saying is, for a week, you're not going to do anything for a week, okay? Because you're circumcised. You know, you're kind of in pain. You kind of think you're a cowboy. So you're going to get circumcised. Okay, I'm sorry. And so the first thing he said, I want you to get circumcised. And they got circumcised, and the folks of Jericho knew about it. So it was not a secret. Then God told him, now the way we're going to conquer Jericho is I want you to shut up, and I just want you to walk around the city for 7 days, for 6 days, okay? And then on the seventh day, you're going to walk around the city for 7 days, and then you're going to shout, and the wall's going to come tumbling down. Well, see, in the natural mind, you would think, that, okay, why can't we take some ladders and throw them up against the wall and go inside the city walls? So God's instructions didn't make any sense, okay? So after God did his work at Jericho, then the folks in Israel got all puffed up. You know, we're pretty good at this. Just listen to God and do what he tells us to do. And then so they come to this city called Ai. Ai was like a suburb of Dayton, Beaver Creek, okay? So they go face Ai. They said, wait a minute. Ai is no Jericho. We don't even need to talk to God about this one. We'll just go in, kick their butts, and it'll be over, and we're going to be home by noon. So they go in and get their butts kicked. And so they come back, and God, and Joshua, he goes to God. He says, why did that happen? And God says, because you had sin in the camp. So they had to take care of the sin in the camp, which was Achan. You know, Achan had taken some of the bounty from Jericho. He wasn't supposed to. He had hid it in his tent. And so God told Joshua, you got to take care of that before I can bless you again. So they took care of that. And if you would notice with Achan, God instructed Joshua to kill Achan, kill his family, kill all of his animals, burn down his property. That was God's instruction, okay? Once they did that, they conquered Ai. The next city in line was Gibeon, okay? Now, you got to remember, why is Joshua doing all of this? Because these were cities that occupied the promised land. They were strongholds in the promised land, okay? So what we're reading about, types and shadows, are the strongholds that occupy your promised land, which is the inheritance that Jesus Christ died for so that you could take advantage of. Okay? So Gibeon, the Gibeonites, they heard about what happened to Jericho and they heard about what happened to Ai. So they came to Joshua and to Israel. They live probably about as far as we are to, I'm just going to say, Vandalia. But they act like they live miles and miles away from a far country. And so they got some molded bread. They picked out some worn out shoes and worn out clothes. They came to Joshua and they said, you know, we are come because we want to make peace with you. And Joshua says, but don't you live nearby? He says, no, we live far away. Look at the molded bread. Look at our shoes. You can see the bottom of the flapping in the wind. Okay. So, you know, we came from a far country so that we can make peace with you. They made peace with the Gibeonites, okay? What they didn't do was this. They didn't talk with God about it at all, okay? And see, my point in all this, when you're talking about types and shadows and about this record, Joshua and Israel made a decision based on what they could see, and based on what they could hear, and did not ask God if what they were seeing and if what they were hearing were right. See, your enemy is going to go after you based on what you can see and based on what you can hear. And see, sometimes based on what you see and what you hear, it's going to look so good. It's going to sound so right. And if you don't ask God if this is really from you, is this really what you want me to do, then your enemy has gotten you in the trap that he has set for you all along. And see, that is one of the lessons that we learn from the Gibeonites. You cannot, when it comes to dealing with your enemy, you cannot depend on what you see and what you hear. Because remember, you're fighting a spiritual warfare, not a physical one, a spiritual one, okay? So, and I know, and I've used Cindy as an example before, it's so easy For me, if Cindy and I are in a disagreement and we're at issue with each other, it's so easy for me to look at Cindy and say, Cindy is the issue. But Cindy is not the issue. It's who is influencing Cindy, who's behind Cindy, is the issue. But see, we in the body of Christ, we get so involved with who we see and what they're saying to us that we don't realize that my enemy is attacking me. And so we try to deal with these things by taking care of Cindy instead of taking care of the source of the problem. Do you see what I'm saying? Okay. So God told Joshua that every ite in the promised land I want you to kill. Okay? So I want you to think about the ites in the promised land as being your strongholds. Your strongholds. A stronghold, ladies and gentlemen, is whatever it is in your life that is keeping you from doing what God tells you to do. Let's take the discipleship program, for example. A stronghold in your life will be whatever it is that keeps you from reading 1 John 50 times. It could be a video game. I like John Madden. I will admit that. Okay? I like John Madden. My children laugh at me because I'm still on year 2005? Yeah, I don't move too quickly, you know. Because, see, I like to play John Madden without thinking. You know, and the newer the version, the more you have to think. I don't want to think, okay? So, John Madden would be an example of a stronghold for me. You know, if that was going to be an example. Watching TV could be a stronghold for you if it interferes with you accomplishing what you said you were going to do as part of the discipleship program. Okay? Anything that takes precedence over what you decided to do for God and promise to God is a stronghold. Is a stronghold. Okay? Look at verse 1 in chapter 10. It says, now it came to pass when the king of Jerusalem, I'm just going to skip the name, had heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and her king, so he had done to Ai and her king. And now the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, that they feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all the men thereof were mighty. Wherefore, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lasha, and the king of Elgon, saying, come up unto me and help me, that we may smite Gibeon, for it has made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel. Therefore, the five kings. Did I say five kings? Okay, five kings. I just want to make sure you heard me. Therefore, the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lasha, the king of Elgon, and I just butchered all of that, gathered themselves together and went up, and they and all their hosts, and encamped before Gibeon and made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp of Gilgal, saying, slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly and save us. Remember when Joshua and Israel found out that Gibeon had lied to them? They said, okay, we're going to keep our words, but you're going to serve us. You're going to, you know, wash things, you're going to build things for us, but we're going to let you live, but you're going to serve us. So now Gibeon is saying, okay, now that we're serving you, you're supposed to protect us. We're getting attacked, so we're calling on you. So slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war, with him and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not them, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Now stop for a minute. This is a type and shadow of a stronghold. What was the stronghold that Joshua was getting ready to deal with? fear. You see that? Because what's the first thing the Lord tells him? Fear not. Fear them not. Okay? So, ladies and gentlemen, whenever you are facing one of your stronghold may be, I don't have enough money to get me to the end of the month. Your stronghold may be an illness. Your stronghold may be a relationship that needs to get better. Your stronghold could be anything. Anything that takes you away from God is a stronghold. God told Joshua, you see these five kings, these strongholds? You don't fear them. I'm with you. God says, Joshua, I got this. He says, I got this. Okay? So in verse 9, Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly. When you know you got victory, you don't waste time. You don't waste time. He came up to them. In other words, he obeyed. He obeyed. He didn't let any grass grow under his feet. And he went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth-horam and smote them to Azekah and unto Makeda. Okay? Now, the point I want to make here is this. When God told Joshua to fear them not, what he's telling them is, you know, any battle that you go into, you're not going into by yourself. Okay? I am going to be with you. You're not going into any battle by yourself. Okay? So, when Satan and his demons, his devils, they have built strongholds in your lives. Whatever those strongholds are, only you know what they are. Only you know what they are. God is saying there is no devil that can stand in your presence and be successful against you. Let that sink in. It doesn't matter what has happened up until today. Now you know what God has said. There's no demon who's influencing your life that can stand against you. Okay? You may not have known that before tonight. Now you do. Now you do. Take comfort in that. Take comfort in that. When you go to bed at night, you know God is with you. You know that there's no demon that can stand against you. Your sleep can be sweet. It can be sweet. It can be refreshing. And you can wake up, you are ready because you know that whatever this day brings, God is with me. It doesn't matter what it is. Okay? Does not matter what it is. Look at verse 11. Before I go to verse 11, I got to say one more thing. And I promise, I'm not going to drag this stuff off because I want to drag it out because I want to get it done. You are the variable in all of this. Okay? Because, see, back in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God says, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And let us give man what? Dominion. Okay, so man is the one who has the authority on this earth. This may surprise you all. God can't do anything without someone agreeing with him. He can't. No matter how powerful God is, no matter how loving God is, he can't do anything if one of us don't agree with him. Because, see, we have the authority, but he has the power. But if we don't agree to let him use our authority, guess what? There is no power going to be seen in this earth. And see, that's what makes it so neat about Jesus. Jesus says, Father, I'm here to do your will. My meat, my joy, The thing that I love most, Father, is doing what you want me to do. That was Jesus. That's what I enjoy doing, Father, what you want me to do. And guess what? Jesus' authority allowed the power of God to come into this world. But Barry, Jesus was the Son of God. And what are you? Evidently, you don't know. I hadn't heard a thing. You're sons and daughters of God. Are you not? You are sons and daughters. Remember, Jesus gave up the deity to come down here because he wanted to show us it could be done. It could be done. So, if we are going to be able to sleep at night because we don't have any worries, we don't have any concerns, then we know that it's because of who we are, because we've yielded our authority to our Heavenly Father. Okay? Do you realize that every time you pray in the Spirit, you are yielding your authority over to the Holy Spirit so he can deal with those infirmities in your life? Every time. You are yielding your authority. Because, see, your authority comes when you open your mouth and you start doing the praying. Okay? And so God wants us to yield our authority to him. Okay? And when you get home tonight, read Romans chapter 6. Because in verses, I think it's 14, 15, and 16, it says who you yield yourself to is who you will obey. Okay? So here in Joshua, look at verse 12. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites. Well, let me go back to verse 11. I skipped it. And it came to pass as they fled from before Israel and were in the going down to Beth Horam that the Lord cast down great stones in heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died, and they were more which died with the hailstone than they which were Israel and slew with the sword. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. He said, in the sight of Israel, sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. Do you see that? In verse 11, God rained down hailstorms. Can you still hear me, Stephen? Okay, because this thing's kind of doing some stuff. Okay. Great. Less filling. Tastes great. God rained down the hailstorms. And so he did that, and so the enemy started scattering. Okay? Now this is what I want you to see. When we yield our authority to God and we start seeing little victories, okay, we have the tendency to stop. We have a tendency to say, okay, this one is done. I don't have to worry about this one anymore. Okay? What we're going to read from here on is that Joshua says that I am going to pursue my enemy until my enemy no longer exists. Okay? The point of all of this is this. The strongholds that are operating in your life, if you don't diligently pursue them until they no longer exist, a stronghold. You tell little white lies. That's a stronghold. You say one thing and then you don't follow through with it. That's a stronghold. Okay? You're supposed to be at work by 8 o'clock, you get to work at 8:10. That is a stronghold. May not seem like much, may not be a big deal. Your boss may not say even anything about it. But you know, God notes that. Because see, you're supposed to be there at 8 o'clock. And you get there at 8:10, 8:15 every day. See, that's a stronghold for you. But you're saying, Barry, who am I hurting? You're hurting yourself. That's a stronghold for you. And until you deal with that, you're not going to be able to get the blessings that God wants you to have. I know, it seems like, but Barry, it's only 10 minutes. The boss doesn't care. I still get the job done. I get excellent evaluations. You know what? What you see, what you hear is not important to God. What is important to God is what's in here. And see, God can only deal with holiness. And if and you are being unholy, if you're supposed to be at work at 8 o'clock, you get there at 8:10 every day. God can't use you, folks. You are being unholy. But Barry, nothing is, I've been doing this for years. Uh-huh. Ergo, stronghold. Okay? I get 30 minutes for lunch. I routinely take 35, 40. Come back. No big deal. I still get my work done. Stronghold. And see, I want you to see how a stronghold, what a stronghold can look like. Because see, for most of us, 10 minutes extra at lunchtime is not a big deal. And you know what? If your boss likes you, it's not a big deal. You know, if your boss likes you, he don't mind if you come in at 8:10 every morning. It doesn't bother him at all if he likes you, if she likes you, and if you're a good worker. But God says, I can only deal with holiness. And if your word is not who you are not holy to me. Do you see that? That is a stronghold. That is a door that's open in your life that your enemy can walk right through. Okay? Ouch. I know. Somebody's toes are stepped on, so that's okay. Mine gets stepped on all the time. See, one thing I keep telling you guys, my toes get stepped on long before yours do. Okay? Because, see, I have to get this first. Ouch, ouch, ouch. And then I have the joy of sharing my pain. Anytime, sister, anytime. I love you guys. So Joshua says, the sun, he wants the sun to stop. And look at verse 13. And the sun stood still and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemy. Do you see that? The sun stopped until all the enemy were conquered. Think about Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 now. Okay? And we know that we're talking about Joshua's the physical enemies, excuse me, and our enemies are the strongholds that are in our lives. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon the enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of the heaven and hasted not to go down about the whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Verse 15. And Joshua returned, and all of Israel with him, unto the camp of Gilgal. But the five kings fled and hid themselves in a cave in Makkedah. And it was told Joshua, saying, the five kings are found hid in a cave at Makkedah. And Joshua said, roll a gray stone upon the mouth of the cave, and set the men by it for to keep them. Okay? Now, notice he rolled a stone over the mouth of the cave. Okay? Now, if the five kings represent strongholds, okay, and then Joshua rolled a stone over the mouth of the cave, then the five kings must have represented something for us that comes out of our mouths. Okay? For example, I can't do that. That's a stronghold. Because when God says you can and you say you can't, that's a stronghold. Okay? Remember, he put the strongholds were put in the cave and the mouth of the cave was covered up. Brother Jerry said something this morning. He said, we paraphrasing. Don't want you to sue me. I love it. He said, we really need to pay attention to what we say. We really need to start really paying attention to what we say. Because, see, if we're saying things that are not in alignment and harmony with God's word, we're creating strongholds every single time. Okay? Every single time. If God says in his word that if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, then nothing shall be impossible to you, and you're saying to yourself that, you know, my mustard seed is kind of small right now, and I don't see it growing anytime, stronghold. Or I don't see how on earth God is going to get me through this, stronghold. Because, see, you're letting your strongholds out, and you're saying negative things. The cure for that, and I love this, Pastor Dave, when he had one of his conversations with God, and he was asking God, you know, say, God, what is the problem? He says, you got a word problem. You don't have enough word in you to do what I want you to do. And see, all this, that describes the body of Christ almost to a T. We don't have enough word in us so that when the enemy comes knocking on our door, when the enemy comes and kicks the door open, and then he grabs the wife and the kids and he drags them out, we don't have enough word in us to stop him from doing that, figuratively speaking. Okay? So we see then that what Joshua did, he took the kings of Ai, they were in the cave, he covered the cave up so they couldn't get out. Okay? Look at verse 19. And he told them, he said, stay ye not and pursue after your enemies. So there were still men who were still not taken care of. So Joshua said, that's the first thing I want you to do, pursue after your enemies. You have to pursue your strongholds. You have to pursue your strongholds. You have to overtake them. You got to conquer them. Because if you don't, God will not be able to use you the way he wants to. Okay? Somebody's stronghold could be a, you know, little nip at night. It helps me sleep, Barry. You know, I could take a kitchen skillet, hit you upside the head, you can sleep. You don't have to take a little nip. We can do that. Call me. I'll help you out. Bring my kitchen skillet with me. Okay? Some people may, you know, smoking could be a stronghold. Smoking could be a stronghold. Okay? Not liking your boss can be a stronghold. Not liking the person, whoever that person is, who has authority over your life, can be a stronghold. Because, see, God respects authority. It's not the person. It's not the person. Because, see, if that was the case, then we would say, then God put Hitler in place. He put Stalin in place. He put Saddam Hussein in place. You know, he respected the position that they held, because they were in authority. God respects authority. So even though you may have a boss, Catherine, you may have a teacher, person has authority. And God respects that. And so if we don't respect that, guess what? Stronghold. And until we take care of that stronghold, God will not be able to move in our lives the way we want him to move. Okay? As you can see, I'm kind of giving you examples of strongholds all along the way. I hadn't planned that, by the way. It's just happening. And stay ye not and pursue your enemies, and smite the hindermost of them. Suffer them not to enter into the cities, for the Lord your God has delivered them into your hands. Okay? Joshua's saying, did you see this? It says, do not allow them to enter into their cities. So you don't allow your strongholds to come back home. Don't let them come back home. Okay? And all the people, verse 21, returned to the camp to Joshua at Makeda in peace. None moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. Then said Joshua, open the mouth of the cave, bring out the five kings unto me out of the cave. And they did so, and brought forth those five kings unto him out of the cave, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. And it came to pass, they brought out the kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all of the men of Israel, and said unto the captains of the men of Israel war, which went with them, I want you to close your eyes. He says, come near, I want you to visualize this, put your feet upon the necks of those kings. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. You are putting your necks on the strongholds, ladies and gentlemen. Picture that. You are putting your necks on your strongholds that are right now keeping you from occupying your promised land. Okay? And Joshua said unto them, fear not. Fear not be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage. For thus shall the Lord do to your enemies against whom you fight. And afterward Joshua smote them and slew them and hanged them on five trees. And they were hanging upon the trees until evening. Remember the sun had stopped? And it came to pass at the time of the going down of the sun. Notice the sun didn't go down until Joshua had cleaned the clock of all the enemy. Okay? Going down of the sun that Joshua commanded, and they took them down off the trees, cast them into the cave wherewith they had been hid, and laid great stones in the cave's mouth, which remain until this day. I want you to see this, and we're winding this down. Notice that Joshua killed every king once he had killed all of their soldiers. Okay? And Joshua killed the kings, and not only did he kill the kings, he let them hang in public view, okay? And then he cut them down, put them back in the cave, and covered the mouth of the cave again, where they remain until this day. You never hear anything from the kings again. When you kill them, you put them in the cave, you cover the cave with a rock, you never hear about them again. That is the way he wants you to treat your strongholds. You see the image. Your strongholds are not your friends. They may seem like they're good friends. I mean, you've had them for a long time. You wake up to them. You go to bed to them. You've had them for a long time. They're your best buds. They're not your friends. Okay? They are, what's the best way to describe it? They are the little foxes that mess up the binds. Okay? That's what your strongholds are. Okay? Now let's go back to Ephesians and knock this out. Back in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 24. Verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And Brother Jerry talked about how you put on the new man this morning. Prayer, worship, fasting, and the word. That's how you put on the new man. Look at verse 25. What is the first thing he talks about? Your mouth. Wherefore, putting away lying. Do you see that? Wherefore, putting away lying. Speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Okay? Be ye angry and sin not. Let the sun... And let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't let the sun go down before you have conquered your strongholds. That's what he is saying. Because he says, wherefore put away lying. Be ye angry and sin not. Let the sun Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And what is the only record in Scripture where there is a reference to the sun? Joshua. And the surrounding, the context of that is the sun stayed in place until all of the enemy was conquered. Do you see now what Ephesians is talking about? You don't let anything keep you from getting so angry that you don't take care of the things you need to take care of. That's why he says be angry and sin not, because it's a sin if you let the stronghold stay in your life. Okay? It's a sin if you let the strongholds stay in your life. So he says be angry and sin not. You don't let any of the strongholds stay in your life. You take them, you kill them, you hang them on a tree, you put them in a cave, you cover the cave, and you don't ever hear from them again. Is this going to be easy? Uh-uh. It's not. Let's just be honest about it. That's why they call it a stronghold, because getting rid of a stronghold, dealing with a stronghold, it's not going to be easy, but you can do it. If that's what you want to do, okay? If that's what you want to do. Because, see, if you decide that I'm comfortable with my stronghold, I don't have any issues with my stronghold, then somebody is a liar. It's either going to be you or God. I vote for you. Okay? I vote for you. I vote for me. It's not God. It's not God. Okay? So when you think about this record tonight, and think about it in the context of what we've been taught for the past few weeks about discipleship, okay? Because, see, remember Jesus said that if you want to be my disciple, you're going to have to make some sacrifice. You've got to give up some things. Strongholds is one of those things you have to give up, okay? Strongholds are one of those things you have to give up. Give you another example of stronghold, then we're going to close. I have a lot of good Christian books at home. A lot of authors that, that at one time I used to read a lot. A stronghold, ladies and gentlemen, can be that book from that author, that Christian author that you like, and you read that book instead of putting your eyes on a page of Scripture. Okay? If that's what you do more than anything else, that's a stronghold. That is a stronghold. Okay? So I hope, if nothing else tonight, I've given you a glimpse of how strongholds can look, so that when you go back home and you examine your life and you say, okay, what has priority in my life? What occupies the most time in my life? When you identify that, and that was one of the things that Brother Bill talked about at the men's breakfast yesterday, you know, what has priority? What takes up most of your time? When you identify that, stronghold. Stronghold. It says, be ye angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. How do you not give place to the devil? By you taking your strongholds, chop them up, hanging up on a tree, putting them in a cave, covering the cave with a rock. That's how you don't give place to the devil. Because, see, the only place the devil can have is through your strongholds. Okay? It's through your strongholds. And we know, according to 2 Corinthians chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, that a stronghold are the imaginations that are more important to us than the Word of God, the thoughts, the things that we do that are more important to us than the Word of God. Okay? One more, because he just put this in my head. One more. Jogging can be a stronghold. Jogging can be a stronghold. Because, see, if you're getting up in the morning, you do your jogging, I know from what I read that, you know, after you reach a certain point, you start having endorphins, you know, that make you feel good, and you really start getting pumped. And you do that, and you go to work, and the first thing you do when you get home, because you just can't wait to do it again, is start jogging again. Ladies and gentlemen, that can be a stronghold for you. That can be a stronghold for you. Because if that's your first priority before anything else, that's a stronghold for you. that is a stronghold for you. Okay? Everyone, please stand.